ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 9th चैप्टर 9th टेक्स्ट 8 द चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द डायनेस्टी ऑफ अंशुमान. इति युक्त्वा स नृपो देवम् तपसा तोषयत् शिवम् कालेनालिप्सया राजम् तस्येषश्चाश्वतुष्यत. ट्रांसलेशन. After saying this, Bhagirath satisfied Lord Shiva by performing austerities. O King Parikshit, Lord Shiva was very quickly satisfied with Bhagirath. Purport. The words Ashu Atushyatah indicates that Lord Shiva was satisfied very soon. Therefore, another name for Lord Shiva is Ashutosh. Materialistic persons become attached to Lord Shiva because Lord Shiva bestows benedictions upon anyone and everyone very quickly, not caring to know how his devotees prosper or suffer. Although materialistic persons know that material happiness is nothing but another side of suffering, they want it, and to get it very quickly, they worship Lord Shiva. We find that materialists are generally devotees of many demigods, especially Lord Shiva and Mother Durga. They do not actually want spiritual happiness, for it is almost unknown to them. But if one is serious about being happy spiritually, he must take shelter of Lord Vishnu, as the Lord personally demands. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshesyami mahasuchah. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Bhagavad Gita 18.66. Seek the blessings of all the devotees, that I can speak for my purification and I can follow what I am saying. So, we are very quickly going to witness the descent of Mother Ganges on this planet Earth. Credit not only goes to Bhagirath, Maharaj Bhagirath, who is determined to get Mother Ganges down on this planet Earth, but the credit also equally goes to Lord Shiva, who is willing to face and hold the powerful forces and the waves of Mother Ganges on his head. So, in fact, Lord Shiva here is taking a very, very humble role of, a dam. You know, a dam is a check dam. The purpose why the check dam is created is the check dam, it checks the flow of the water and slows down the powerful force of the rainy the water that is coming from the rainy season, and it prevents the major disaster and catastrophe of the things which are ahead of that dam. So here Lord Shiva is exactly he's taking that flow of water on his head just so that the flow will become little bit relatively slower, and so that Mother Earth can withstand and have the presence of Mother Ganges. So, in fact, sometimes we see that during heavy rains, even the big dams are not able to withstand the powerful pressure and the forces of the water that is flowing. And as a result, what happens is that dam breaks and there is no control over the flow of the water. So this was exactly the main concern of Mother Ganges when she appeared before Maharaj Bhagirath. She is saying, Kopi dharayati vegam patantya me mahitale anyatha bhutalam bhitva nrupa yasya rasatalam. Who will sustain my powerful forces when I fall from the sky down to the surface of planet Earth? And if this force will not be able to sustain by anybody, then I shall pierce the surface of planet Earth and go down to Rasatal and Patal area of universe. So Lord Shiva's role is very vital here in this entire pastime. In fact, we can just imagine what must be the strength of Lord Shiva's hair, which is going to hold the powerful forces of Mother Ganges. I mean, nobody in this world could have able to withstand that powerful force. And the very fact that Mother Ganges is still flowing on this earth planet, it proves that Lord Shiva is still holding. It's still holding that pressure on his head. Otherwise, the Ganges water would have pierced, and no longer it would be still there on this earth planet. So credit goes to Lord Shiva for bringing Mother Ganges on this planet Earth. And although it's a heavy pressure on his head, he doesn't mind. Although the pressure is hitting hard on his head, he's not at all disturbed. I mean, initially it's fine that, if you are holding a pressure for some time being, for a few minutes, it's fine. But when we are told to hold that pressure for a long time, if you are told to hold a luggage of 20 kgs and walk on our head, for a few minutes it's fine. But then for a few hours, few days, it becomes too burdensome. But for Lord Shiva, he's not at all disturbed. In fact, the reason why he still continues to sustain that pressure on his head is described in the next verse. The next verse says that Dadhara avhitam gangam padaputam jalam harer. He is sustaining the Ganges on his head because the Ganges water that is coming on his head is being purified by the touch of the lotus feet of Lord Hari. So for Lord Shiva, it's a great pleasure rather than a burden to hold this heavy pressure on his head. I mean, Lord Shiva says, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnum Aradhanam Param Tasmat Parataram Devi Tadhyanam Samarchanam. That greater than the worship of Lord Vishnu is the worship of Tadhya. That is, anything in connection to Lord Vishnu. And because Ganges has been touched by the lotus feet of the Lord, Lord Shiva considers holding that heavy pressure not as burden, but as a burden of love. And I mean, he considers it as that as worshipable and worth placing on his head. So, I mean, Lord Shiva is teaching a wonderful lesson from this, that any service that is in connection to the Supreme Lord and His devotees, no matter how much heavy it is, at least we must try to execute it. And it's not only we should execute it, not just because we are being told to do it, but execute it, placing that service on our head, considering it as worshipable. If for a woman who is bearing a child within her womb, when she is pregnant, at that time there is a heavy burden, there is a heavy load or heavy pressure she is carrying all the way, wherever she is going, wherever she is traveling, even while sitting, whether she is taking rest. And that weight keeps on increasing, month after month. But she can't say, let me put this weight aside for some time being, because I am feeling it very heavy. No. Why? Because there is love involved. Of course, there are many women in this world who feels that to carry a baby within the womb is a great burden. And they don't want to render service to that child, and they just abort. But most of the women we see who want to bear a child, they will hold it no matter how much pressure they have to bear. Why? Because love is involved. There is a connection. She feels connected. So it's if we are told to do some service, and if we just give that service up just because it's an austerity, just because we find it heavy, then exactly that's like aborting the growth of our childlike Krishna consciousness. We are actually retarding the growth of our own Krishna consciousness. But when there is love involved, automatically love accommodates everything. Love supersedes, love transcends laws and logic. So, although it was a heavy pressure, which that's what the previous verse says that dharayishyati te vegam rudrastvatma sharirinam. He can sustain your forceful waves on his head. That's a vague, it's a pressure. So, because there is a loving reciprocation involved between Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva doesn't mind at all. For Shripad Madhavendrapuri, who was being ordered to get the logs of Chandan wood, for him it was not at all a burden. For him it was not at all a heavy load. Although he had to carry all the way, I think from Jagannath Puri. But he considered that as a source of great pleasure. So for great souls, the difficulties they encounter are the sources of great pleasure. Tomara seva dukkha hoy yato sei to parama sukha. Seva sukha dukkha parama sampanda nashaya avidya dukkha. So this is a wonderful quote by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he says that for a devotee, for a great soul, difficulties are never difficulties, but they are the source of great pleasure. Why? Because it's in connection to the Supreme Lord. It's tadiya. And it destroys the avidya, source of avidya. And also we see here in this case that Lord Shiva is supposed to be in charge of destruction. He helps Lord Vishnu in destruction, samhar. But here we see that Lord Shiva is also helping Lord Vishnu in maintaining. I mean, we see in 8th canto during the churning of milk ocean, when halahal came out, that vicious poison came out, which was going to devour and destroy the whole universe. Lord Vishnu is personally approaching Lord Shiva. Lord Vishnu is supposed to maintain. but he's approaching along with demigods. Lord Vishnu is taking a humble position and he's approaching Lord Shiva so that Lord Shiva can drink that poison. So Prabhupada at that time in that purport quotes Madhvacharya, where Shripad Madhvacharya says that for Vishnu it's an easy job to maintain. He could have easily find out some solution and the universe would have been maintained. But just to give credit to Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu is personally approaching Lord Shiva so that Lord Shiva gets the credit. A devotee of the Lord will get the credit of taking such a major responsibility. So although Lord Shiva is in charge of destruction, he is in fact willing to mold his services, willing to mold his desires as per the desire of the Lord, so that he can assist Lord in his mission. So whatever time we have, we'll just try to discuss this theme, that how great personalities have power to handle unlimited pressures in the time of crisis. Just as Lord Shiva, he readily agreed. He didn't think twice. He immediately, next verse, or the verse after that, says, Lord Shiva said, let it be so. So just as Lord Shiva readily agreed to hold water, considering that as a blessing of the Lord, similarly, great personalities, they considered every service, every responsibility as a blessing of the Lord. So although there may be pressures at all levels, we'll discuss this, that pressure at the physical level, pressure at the mental level, pressure at the emotional or social level, and pressure at the spiritual level. In spite of undergoing pressure at all these levels, great personalities can easily overcome those pressures in the service of the Lord. So the first one is pressure at the physical level. Great personalities, they travel extensively. Janasya Krishna Vimukasya Devat Adharma Shilasya Pradukhitasya Anugrahaya Charanti Nunam Dukha Bhutani Bhavyani Janardanasya. Great souls, they travel extensively out of compassion to reach the fallen conditioned souls so that they can bring them back to the service of the Supreme Lord. And during the course of rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in spite of undergoing unlimited difficulties and inconveniences, they continue to serve the Supreme Lord with great pleasure and happiness and with utmost enthusiasm. In fact, yesterday we heard wonderful class from Adikarta Prabhu. He was saying that one of the final instructions of Bhaktisiddhanta Sajjal Thakur to his disciples was that he's saying, I wish that all the selfless and the tender-hearted persons of the Gaudiya Math are willing to shed at least 200 gallons of blood for the nourishment of the spiritual corpus of every living entity of this world. A very heavy statement, but that's what he expected. That's why it is said that sacrificing a life is not as benevolent as a life of sacrifice. No doubt, sacrificing a life is a great activity. But a life of sacrifice is something much higher, where moment to moment, a person is dedicating himself in the service of the Lord. And we all know how much investment and sacrifice somebody has done on us to bring us to Krishna consciousness. I mean, I know for a, I mean, when I came to Krishna consciousness, there were so many people who were just pushing me, but I was so much adamant. It took me years to come to chant 16 rounds. 7 years, after 7 years, I started chanting 16 rounds. 7 years. So what it takes, I mean, so much investment, so much sacrifice, and what it takes to keep us inspired and, you know, keep us enthused and continue going on this path. It takes a lot. So, I mean, that's one of the major responsibilities of the leader. We all know the leader of this temple. Now, what was temple when it was, you know, 20 years before? And it was just a barren land. But years after years, cultivating that barren land, now the wonderful flowers are growing. So many years of dedication and sacrifice. So leader has a great responsibility. And leader has to sacrifice his own personal comfort so that he can, you know, actually give spiritual comfort to each and every person under him. So, there is a saying that it takes, I mean, to feed one horse, one dose of medicine, it takes six people to feed that one horse, one dose of medicine. Exactly is the case. To bring one person to Krishna consciousness, it takes six people to invest, to sacrifice, to spoon feed him. I mean, it takes only a strength of four people to just take a dead man to crematorium. But it takes a strength of six people to bring real life, a life of Krishna consciousness in a purse, in a karmi, or in a life of a materialist. So how much a person has to really undergo, we all know, how much we try our best to preach somebody, or somebody has tried their best to preach us. But they are willing to undergo that encumbrances, difficulties, as a service of the Lord. Just to give you a glimpse of what was, how much difficulties Prabhupada underwent in order to bring conditioned souls back to the lotus feet of Krishna. Just one example. This is from Satsarup Das Goswami Maharaj, Prabhupada Lilamrit. This was in the year 1975 that Prabhupada decided to go on world tour for 3 months. And what was the schedule for these 3 months? This world tour started from Bombay, and Prabhupada was supposed to travel from Bombay to Hong Kong, to Tokyo, to Hawaii, from Hawaii to Los Angeles, from Los Angeles to Mexico, from Mexico to Caracas to Miami, from Miami to Atlanta to Dallas to New York, from New York to London, from London to Tehran, and this tour would end in Calcutta in March, where Prabhupada would go to Mayapur for the second international gathering during Gaur Purnima festival. And at that time, especially in 1975, there were thousands of devotees who were going to come to attend this Gaur Purnima festival, because immediately after Gaur Purnima festival in April, there was an opening in Vrindavan of Krishna Balaram temple. So this was Prabhupada's schedule. And it is said that Satsarup Das Goswami Maharaj writes that this was Prabhupada's 8th world tour out of in the 10 years of his preaching since the year 1965. And this tour would take him to 12 major cities in 50 days. And he would enter 7 different countries. And for this, Prabhupada would have to travel a distance of 34,000 miles. This was in the year 1975. What is Prabhupada's age at that time? Maybe 79, 80 years. It's too much. But Prabhupada could, for Prabhupada, it was not at all a heavy load or a burden. For him, it was very, very, although his body was degenerating, but his enthusiasm was, you know, rejuvenating moment after moment. I mean, he is, you know, sick, diseased, but he's telling his disciples, he's telling Damalkrishna Maharaj, take me to London. Let me die on the battlefield, fighting for Krishna. So, this is just a 3 months schedule. Prabhupada's every moment of 13 years, right from 1965 to 1975, went like that. So we can just imagine. We can only imagine what difficulties, how much physically Prabhupada underwent, not actually caring for his own body. And Prabhupada started, no, right from scratch, and by this time, 1975, Prabhupada was actually managing the world of ISKCON, alone. Just as for Krishna, lifted Govardhan Hill very naturally. So for Prabhupada, he just took this burden of love on his head very naturally. There were so many sakhas of Krishna who were holding sticks. So our contribution is like, it's just like, no, those Krishna's friends holding that stick. And moment, those friends started thinking, oh, we are controlling, it is because of us that we are managing the whole Govardhan Hill, Krishna would sometimes tilt and the sticks would break. So moment we think that, oh, we are the controllers, we are actually organizing the temple, we are organizing the whole ISKCON or something, little responsibilities we have, Krishna will humble us and make us realize that actually we are just very insignificant, and this whole organization is running by the grace of Lord Krishna and his representatives. In fact, Prabhupada alone knew ISKCON's inner workings. He alone knew, actually. All of his disciples were quite new. They were just growing up. They were just in a budding stage. And Prabhupada was the ultimate judge of affairs for all the, for entire ISKCON. He was the sole author, and the publishing director of Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. Single-handedly, how he could take so much pressure on his head, right from teaching the basic codes of conduct to the highest philosophy. Prabhupada was the one point of contact. For any clarification, devotees would write letter to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada would respond to each and every letter. How much time? Prabhupada, although he was so busy, he had a time to respond to even every single letter to his disciples. So right from morning program to giving lectures to attending press conferences or to opening temples, installing deities, or meeting well-wishers, most of the time agnostics people, most of the time Prabhupada had to debate with them, defend the whole Krishna consciousness movement. And in the night time, when the whole world would be sleeping, Prabhupada would be writing, Bhaktivedanta purports. In spite of his disruptive travel hours, custom delays, jet lags, what not. He was still unwavered, still undisturbed. I mean, something, unhumanly. And above all, he had to inspire. That's one of the major challenge. He had to inspire the whole, all of his disciples all over the world so that they can continue fighting with Maya. Prabhupada himself writes in one of the purports, connected it. How could Prabhupada bear so much physical pressure, although it was humanly impossible? Prabhupada writes in one of the purports in third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. He writes, very interesting, transcendental service to the Lord is not mundane, it's tadiya. The service attitude of a devotee gradually increases and never becomes slackened. Generally, in old age, person is allowed retirement from mundane service. But in transcendental service of the Lord, there is no retirement at all. On the contrary, the service attitude increases more and more with the progress of age. In transcendental service, there is no satiation and therefore no retirement. Service on the bodily plane dwindles as the body grows older. But the spirit is never old. And therefore, on the spiritual plane, the service is never tiresome. That was Prabhupada's spirit. So Prabhupada's enthusiasm to preach never died. The reason being only, he was working for Krishna on the platform of the soul. It is the body that gets tired, not the soul. Soul never gets tired. So had Lord Shiva not taken that burden or not taken that pressure of the flow of Mother Ganges on his head, the world would have remained bereft of the purifying presence of Mother Ganges. The Mother Ganges would have not stayed on planet Earth. It would have just gone down. Similarly, had Srila Prabhupada not taken that burden of love, not taken that, pains on his head, the world would have remained bereft of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. The world would have remained bereft of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We would have not been sitting here. We would have not been discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the spirit of Prabhupada. Prabhupada himself, right? It is spirit, the soul never gets tired. So at physical level, if somebody wants to overcome pressure, our right example is Srila Prabhupada. At all levels, in fact. Second is pressure at the mental level. Mind is constantly pressurizing. The mind and senses are constantly pressurizing the living entity to enjoy this material world, and which is the root cause of misery and suffering in this world. Yehi samsparsaja bhoga dukha yonayevate adhyantavantu konte annate shuramate buddha. Mind is constantly bombarding. Mind is constantly pressurizing the living entity. In fact, the negative thoughts in the mind are just like the waves of tsunami, which are hitting the surface of mind and destroying living entity's serving tendency. Or we can say that mind is just like, we all know, mind is just like a poisonous thousand-headed serpent, which is emitting poisonous thoughts every moment. Those thoughts, specifically those thoughts which will take us away from Krishna. Specifically those thoughts which will destroy our dormant Krishna consciousness. We all have experienced such a heavy pressure sometimes, especially a neophyte has to undergo. For a great souls, Ramante Yogino Anante, they are, for them it's not a pressure. They are not in anxiety, how can I control my mind and senses? for them, they have done their homework very well. And because they have done their homework very well, they can easily lift pressure. They are actually the world weightlifting champions. For a person who has done, for a person who is in weightlifting and who has learned that art of lifting heavy weights, at the time of real test, they can easily lift up. Why? Because they have done their homework well. They have done a lot of exercise before. So for them, it's not a problem. So, great souls, just as for a sadhaka, for a conditioned soul, the mind is constantly pressurizing. But for a great soul, they pressurize mind and the soul, mind and senses, so that it can be engaged. How do they pressurize? Just as Krishna, he danced on the thousand hoods of Kaliya, which was emitting poison. Because great souls, they carry Krishna within their mind constantly. For them, it's not at all a pressure. For them, it's like a dance. Krishna is dancing for them. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasurable activity. Jeeva sadaiva bhajasundarani namani krishnasya manoharani samasta bhaktarthi vinashanani govinda damodara madhaveti. Oh my tongue, please, Jeeva sadaiva bhajasundarani, please chant the wonderful beautiful names sundarani namani krishnasya. Please chant the holy names, which is so beautiful. And once tongue starts chanting the holy names of the Lord, automatically, manoharani, the mind will automatically get subdued. We don't have to make a separate endeavor to control mind and senses, just as the yogis and the jnanis do. We can easily overcome pressure at the mental level. So for a sadhaka, Just as a person goes to gym and voluntarily takes up the heavy weights, sadhaka has to voluntarily take up to the chanting of the holy name. Then automatically his muscles will become, mental muscles will become strong. Or as Gaur Gopal Prabhu very wonderfully quoted on that day in our Brahmachari class, that more you push the dumbbells away from the body, it's like pushing the dumbbells away from the body increases the muscular fitness. Similarly, more we push away the negative thoughts from our mind, more we will release the mental pressure and more we will bring Krishna inside our mind. So when Vasudev was imprisoned by Kamsa, this is an analogy given by Gaurang Prabhu, amazing analogy. I think I spoke this last time. Because he was carrying Krishna on his head, all the shackles opened, all the prisons, the doors to the prison opened. Why? Because he was carrying Krishna automatically. So when we carry Krishna within our hearts, within our mind, automatically all that shackles will be released and we can actually dive deep. Otherwise, most of the time goes in just struggling and fighting with the mind and senses. We can actually experience the taste of Krishna consciousness. Pravishta karna randrena swana bhava saruham dhunotisha malam Krishna shalilasya yathasharad. Pravishta karna randrena, when the holy name enters from our ears down into our heart, it actually subdues and settles all the impurities. Just as when the rainwater Just as the the muddy water after the rainy seasons gets settled down. Shalilasya yatha sharad. So the easy way to overcome the pressure at the mental level, pressure at the emotional, or what do you, I just club this, pressure at the emotional or the social level. Tyajantu bandhava sarve nindantu guru vojana tathapi paramananda govinda mama jivanam. There's a beautiful prayer by King Kulashekhar where he's saying, let all my relatives abandon me and all my superiors condemn me, still the supremely blissful Lord Govinda remains my life and soul. A sadhaka goes through this, you know, perplexity, especially when he joins Krishna, when he enters Krishna consciousness. Now, till the time, you know, we go to temple, till the time we are chanting some mantras, no, that's fine. But the day we start going only to Hare Krishna temple, the day we start chanting only Hare Krishna Mahamantra, the day we start chanting 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, there's a, what do you say, the relatives and so many of our, you know, near ones and dear ones stop opposing us. If we are taking, you know, food here and there, that's fine. But if we start taking only Krishna Prasad, major problem. They have problem with that. Can't take it. So till the time we make God as a part of our life, no problem. But the day we make God our life, people can't tolerate it. And that's a major difference between ISKCON and all other organizations outside. They will say, okay, now you can make God as a part of your life, not a problem. But ISKCON is the one. Make God your life. And so. So there's a devotee has to undergo a lot of social pressure, and it's sometimes very unbearable. I mean, all of us who have come to Krishna consciousness, there has been times when we were, you know, ridiculed, mocked, even, you know, condemned, criticized. But for a devotee, it's not a problem. It still continues. Even great souls, Narad Muni was cursed by Daksha Prajapati when he tried to preach to his, you know, sons. Shripad Madhavendra Puri, he is writing, let the sharp moralist accuse me of being illusioned. Let the experts in the Vedic activities, you know, condemn me and tell me as being misled. Let the friends and relatives tell me frustrated. Or let my brothers call me a fool. Let the learned scholars, they assert me that I am too much proud. And let the wealthy Mormonites think that I have gone mad. Still my mind won't budge even an inch from the determination to serve the lotus feet of Lord Govinda, although I am unable to do so. This is very important. We boldly come to Krishna consciousness. You know, we preach to others, but at the same time, you know, this is a dichotomy. A devotee under always feel that guilty. Array. I'm speaking, but at the same time, I'm not able myself, struggling to follow this. So, no matter, we have to struggle, but still, we have to continue. Madhavendra Puri is giving us a great hope. Just continue. Krishna will take care. Devotees around us will take care. So when a sadhaka starts practicing, the world around do not support. What to speak when a devotee, when a sadhaka decides to dedicate his life completely, that becomes too much. People start thinking. People say, Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava, what are you doing? Worship of no mother, my mother is here, I'm sitting here. But that's what they feel. Who can understand the emotions that a devotee is undergoing? A lot of churning is going on. But still, he's determined. Although he knows that he is taking a big risk, he doesn't know whether he'll be able to still continue or not. But still, he dives deep. I mean, when Radhesham Prabhu joined, this is what I've heard from one of his lectures. When Radhesham Prabhu joined full time, this sharp, you know, Madhunapur is saying, sharp moralist. People, there are people who say, who are like sharp moralist. They said, they asked him, if you had to anyways join, this spiritual organization full time, why did you waste one IIT seat? Somebody could have, got that one IIT seat, on your behalf. And you are the one who wasted that IIT seat. And one person actually asked, he asked him that, you had some heartbreaks in your life. That's why you decided, that's why you were so much frustrated, and that's why you had decided to join. What heartbreak? A devotee after millions and millions of lifetime has now come to conclusion that I want to dedicate my life at the service of the Lord. Devotees are the one who are most misunderstood by the people of this world. They are the ones who can understand the feelings and emotions that devotee undergoes. A sadhaka undergoes. Outsiders can never understand. But no matter what, devotee is not sentimental. He just crosses all the barriers and goes ahead. In fact, we can just imagine when Prabhupada was personally there, there was so much threat to his own movement. In fact, 1975, 1976, there was a major, massive movement against ISKCON. It's called as a brainwashing. No, they called ISKCON as a brainwashing movement. And devotees were harassed, tortured. They were being, these people were trying to brainwash our devotees. But Prabhupada took a very strong hold. And as a soldier, he fought back. And at that time, because Prabhupada fought back, he was not overcome by emotions. And because Prabhupada fought back, ISKCON became a bona fide religion in America. So, although a devotee's heart is full of emotions and sentiments, he's actually not sentimental, he's not actually emotional. But at the same time, he's willing to overcome all this emotional pressure and the social pressure that a sadhaka undergoes. Satrudas Goswami Maharaj writes a purport in this beautiful words which I quoted. Tejanto Bandhava Sarve. He gives a purport. This is from Mukundmala Stotra. He tells I'll just finish off 5 minutes. He's saying, in the purport that although preaching is a thankless task, devotee should not feel ashamed of being condemned or feel persecution complex. Rather, take lessons from such great devotees like King Kulashekhar. Our main concern should be placing Krishna and his devotees. So how is it that devotees can overcome such heavy pressures on their heads, emotional, social? Srimad Bhagavatam explains, Parijate anjasa labde saranganyo nyasevate twadangri mulama sadhya sakshat kim kim vrani mahi. Just as a honeybee, when it approaches a parijat tree, once the honeybee has approached a parijat tree, no longer honeybee is attached to going to any other trees. Why? Because this is the place where honeybee finds complete satisfaction. Similarly, a devotee who has tasted the honey of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, he cannot go anywhere else. Today's verse, Prabhupada in the purport explains that we find that the materialists are generally devotees of many demigods, especially Lord Shiva and Mother Durga. They do not actually want spiritual happiness. But just because devotees, they have experienced that taste, that glimpse is enough to satisfy them. That the glimpse of Krishna consciousness keeps them going. That glimpse of wonderful, the experience of darshan, experience of wonderful festivals, experience of wonderful yatras helps them. A remembrance of those experiences keeps them growing in the time of crisis. So a devotee who has tasted can never leave again, okay, can never go in the outside world again. Dhautatma Purusha Krishna Padamulam Namunchati Mukta Sarva Pariklesha Panthasya Sharanam Yatha. Dhautatma Purusha Krishna, especially the great souls who have purified themselves by chanting the holy names of the Lord, they will never leave. Dhautatma Purusha Krishna Padamulam Namunchati. They can easily overcome all these pressures and relish Krishna consciousness. And the pressure at the spiritual level, Prabhupada explains how a spiritual master, he, out of his compassion, accepts disciples and takes, karma of his own disciples. And he may himself suffer, but still, out of compassion, continue to take on that heavy burden of love. So in this verses, it may appear, especially the verse number 7, where Lord Krishna is considered as Lord Shiva is glorified as super soul and the length and breadth of the entire universe. It may appear that Lord Shiva is considered glorified as the supreme personality of Godhead. But Prabhupada purports are like real insights. Prabhupada writes, Prabhupada quotes the Kshiram Yatha Dadivikara Vishesha Yogat. A yogurt can never exist without the existence of milk. Absolutely. Yogurt has no existence. Yogurt will come into existence only if there is milk at the first place. So Lord Shiva is compared to yogurt and Lord Vishnu is compared to Kshiram. In fact, during the churning of milk ocean, as I quoted, when poison came out, so many, especially Prajapatis, they approached Lord Shiva and offer wonderful prayers. And those prayers especially appears, those prayers are actually meant for the glorification of Lord Vishnu, where they are actually glorifying Lord Shiva as being the Supreme Personality of God. But Shukdev Goswami immediately, after that incident take place, two chapters after that, narrates the story of Mohini Murthy, where Lord Shiva is very happy and takes pleasure in being defeated by the beautiful incarnation of Lord as Mohinimurti. And nowhere in the entire Srimad Bhagavatam is where Shukdev Goswami is giving such a graphic description of the incident which took place in the Mohinimurti pastime. Especially in the outside world, when we see a person when he's found to have an affair with a woman outside of his marriage life, it's a very embarrassing and a humiliating situation, especially when it is broadcasted all over the world through newspapers, and especially a lot of masala is added into it. And here, Lord Shiva, when Lord Vishnu appeared as Mohinimurti, Lord Shiva, next to Lord Shiva is his own consort. And here is Lord Shiva running. And such a graphic description is given. It's actually very embarrassing and humiliating when such description is being heard, especially for a man to to get embarrassed. But Lord Shiva is very happy. The verse explains that Atha Avagata Mahatmya Atmano Jagat Atmana. Lord Shiva understood his position and the position of the Supreme Lord. So this is a loving reciprocation between Lord Shiva and his devotees, where Vishnu wants to give credit to his devotee, and Lord Shiva as his devotee wants to give credit to his worshipable Lord. So devotee can never turn to anybody else. Akama sarva kamova moksha kamudaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Even if a devotee has desire, he will only approach his worshipable Lord, Lord Shri Krishna. He will never approach anybody else in this lifetime. So I'll just end here. I'm sorry, I have spoken way beyond my realizations. I'm myself struggling with so many anarthas. But I seek blessings that I can start practicing what I am speaking. So it's already late. We'll not take any questions. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.